here at Flat Top Independent Church tonight. I want to kind of cover that. And the night's not over yet. This is a Wednesday. It's not a Sunday. Feels like a Sunday, don't it? Over next door, we had Shoes for Orphan Souls that were being prepared. And all of our youth that are in the back, and they came in and they cut tags and made the shoes. So everybody give them a round of applause for doing that. And if you don't know, Jan and Ray, they play a huge role in that Shoes for Orphan Souls, and they work tirelessly from the beginning to the end. They'll be doing that tomorrow. We'll be packing shoes tomorrow, and then they'll be in here on Sunday. We had Pam Kuyper here with Feed My Starving Children, and we're going to take that on, and we're going to do that part, and that was an amazing, and thank you for coming and sharing with us your heart and also the mission. That's a big deal to us. So the other thing tonight is before we look, we have a family that's really in need. So we're going to take up an offering. The offering plate will be right outside of my office. We have a family in our church that's going to be in the hospital, could be weeks, could even be a month, and they need gas money and food just when they're going back and forth to the hospital. If you can spare anything tonight, just put it in the offering plate. If you can't, just pray, okay? So we're seeing a lot of things unfold tonight, but that'll be a big help. So if you could do that, I don't care if it's $5, $2, they need some help with some gas money, and they'll be going back and forth to the hospital. So be praying about that, and give as your heart, as you're led by the Lord. And all right, if you would, I'd like to take just a few minutes. God's really, we're going to go to Acts chapter 15. I was sitting in the office today, and I know we've been in a series, and we'll go back to that series in 1 Peter, and that's been really helping us a lot. But man, I knew some extra people would be here tonight, so I said, man, I'm going to go ahead and teach this because it's so good. God opened this up to me. I'd never seen it before the way I've seen it. I want to share something with you. Does anybody in here know who Jesus is? Amen. So, six. By raising your hand, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who he is? Just knowing who he is? Okay, all right, good. You've heard of him, all right? Do you know what he did? What did he do? Yeah, he was your sin. He replaced you on a cross. He died for your sins and the sins of the whole world, right? Y'all have heard about him. That's good. Well, guess what? In Acts chapter 15, at this time, have you ever thought to yourself that, man, it's rough, the world's bad. It's a bad world. You ever thought that? Yeah. Man, it's a bad world and it's getting worse. You ever thought of that? Yeah. Can I tell you something? At the time this was written, Acts chapter 15, barely, just a very significant, there was a trickle starting. Well, more like a kind of a wave of people getting saved. Do you know who they were? Gentiles. A church at Antioch was really blowing up. There were some people hearing about this man Jesus. Listen, in a world that didn't even know who he was. In a world that people worship the sun, the moon, the stars, false idols, anything they can build, gold. You understand what I'm saying? We think it's bad, but I want to tell you something. When I was sitting here, I asked you if you knew who Jesus was. Everybody here raised your hand and knew who it was. Guess what? Most of the world knows who Jesus is. So when this was written, most of the world did not know. That's neat, right? Well, guess what? They heard. Peter, who went into a Gentile family. Then Paul and Silas, they were out preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, it got wind back to Jerusalem. Hey, it's not a few people are getting saved. 3,000, 5,000. And then it's added every single day. And all of a sudden, these people who knew about God in one way, through the law, through tradition, had all of a sudden, these Gentiles were coming to Jesus by what? By faith. Because somebody went and said, this Jesus died for your sins, and if you accept and believe in who he is, he'll forgive you of your sins, and you'll spend eternity in heaven. And all these Gentiles were like, wait a minute, you mean us too? And they're like, what do we got to do? And Paul and Silas would say, all you must do is believe in who he is. They look around, we don't got to cut ourselves. We ain't gotta dress a certain way. We ain't gotta go to a temple. We ain't gotta go to a synagogue. We don't need to make sacrifice. No, you just gotta believe. I'll take it. Do you know that's the way it's kind of going in third world countries? You tell about Jesus, people accept it by faith. We've heard about it a million times, and sometimes we won't come to it. Well, it got word back to Jerusalem and Judea. Listen in verse 15, verse 1. Guess what happened? They couldn't handle it. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You know what they did? They were like, wait a minute. They don't know all the stuff. Did they need to know all the stuff? No. Man, that hurts. I think this is so amazing. I was reading this week in the book of Acts. I just got out of the book of Revelation. And when I got in the book of Revelation, the book was like, I'm so scared of Revelation. Oh, I don't like to read Revelation. Listen, I was enjoying Revelation. When I got in the book of Acts, it scared me because I don't hardly recognize the church somewhat. Whew. Revelation's what's going to happen. Acts is where we started. And guess what? They were pioneers who would just go to people and say, Jesus saves. And they would say, I'll take it. And guess what? These real religious people would say, they got to do more than that. They got to get circumcised at least. I mean, all of us are circumcised. They have to. And if they're not circumcised, they're not saved. You know what we do? We do some of the same stuff. If they don't dress like us, they're not saved. And if they don't go to Flat Top, they're not saved. And if they don't go on Sunday, they're not saved. You know what? None of that's true. If they believe in Jesus Christ and they have professed out of their mouth, believed with their heart, repented of their sins, and just know Him, guess what? They're just as saved as you are. Amen. Man, you know who stood up? Look, this is why I did this. Go to verse 11. No. Jump to verse 10. I don't want to get them all. Look, verse 10. Peter stands up in the midst of this meeting. This is one of the first meetings of the New Testament church. There were like seven of them. But this is one of the first ones. They all got together and they said, we need to talk about this. But I'm so excited to preach it. I'm sorry. I needed more time. Listen, they got together and they knew something that was so good. At least they got together and said, we're willing to talk about it. Listen, we need to be willing to get together and talk about some stuff that's new or from God, right? Then they were saying, we're going to be willing to change if God's in it. Never mind. Y'all like that? Man, the church hardly won't change anything. Man, these guys had been worshiping God one way for thousands of years. And all of a sudden, everything was changing on them. And guess what? They had a meeting. And some of them were saying they got to be circumcised. And I'm sure some of them said, hey, they need to separate their dairy and their meat. And they need to keep the Sabbath too. And all of a sudden, the ones who had been going out to the Gentiles, Paul and Silas and Peter now even, who was all of a sudden sitting there in their heart and are going, but wait a minute, we've told thousands that all they need is Jesus. Now if we go back out there and say, you need Jesus and circumcision, then they're going to be, well, wait a minute, what if there's another thing we'll need? Amen? But look what Paul does. It's so cool. In verse 10, look what he does. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to hear or to bear? Ain't that cool? No, y'all don't get it, but you will one day. It's cool. You know what Peter just said something amazing. He said, why are we going to put something on them that we can't even bear? Why are we going to put rules and tradition and laws that God put into our life to show us that we couldn't do it ourselves? Ain't that's good. That's good that he looks at himself. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves without grace, without mercy, without the shed blood of Christ, we don't stand a chance either. Amen? There's nothing special about what we do or how we do it. It's about what he did and how he did it. Man, ain't that good? Man, ain't that cool how Peter stands up in this? He stands up in this meeting, and it wasn't going to be easy. And listen, serving God for you, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes God's going to tell you and send you and mold you and make you, and it's not going to be what everybody else is doing. And somewhere you're going to have to stand up in it and say, hey, I'm sorry, but I would rather go with God and Jesus than to go with what we've always went with and it not work. We can't put circumcision on them. We can't put the law on them. We couldn't even keep it ourselves. Does this excite anybody else? Because you know what this says to me? You believe in Jesus Christ. You put your trust and faith in Him. You pray to Him. You read about Him. You hear the message from Him. And you listen to the Holy Spirit. And you get led and follow Him. And guess what? He will set you free. The church in Acts 15 is totally free. There are Gentiles out there who used to worship everything and they didn't even know the name. Sometimes we think we got it rough. You're going to go tell somebody about a Jesus that they probably already heard of, at least. Amen? Ain't that pretty cool? I want to show you the last part. I want to only preach 3 points, and I think this was the third point, right? For all those keeping up with it. Acts 15, 29. This is so cool in this version. I wanted y'all to see something. They had this big meeting, right? They had this real big meeting. And they said, you know what? This is what we're going to tell them they have to have then, right? This is what they need, right? To be saved. You got it? I'm not a very good teacher or preacher, am I? Holly. Y'all know the book of, y'all ever heard of the book of Leviticus? Y'all ever heard of it? Can I give y'all theology on the book of Leviticus? Millions and millions and millions and maybe billions and trillions of gallons of blood that were shed, animals shed for the remission of sins. Okay? That's what these people had been doing for thousands and thousands of years, trying to keep the law. And all of a sudden they boil it all down to verse 29. Thank God. Thank God. Now, y'all, check this out. Listen, it goes to verse 28 and 29. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You know what he's telling them right there? If you got Jesus, you already got enough. Amen. We're not going to put... We're not going to put any more on you than what Christ would put on you. Man, that's good. I don't know about you, but I was raised where some people tried to put some stuff on me. I'm glad God don't put no more on you than, guess what, than what you're supposed to have. Now listen, verse 29, it gets good. It says, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. I thought y'all would be excited about that. They gave them some suggestions. You hear what I just said? They said, look, now, you're talking about thousands and thousands of years to do. Got to be there on the Sabbath. Got to worship here. Got to slaughter this animal. Got to do the scapegoat. Listen, he said, look, don't eat meat that's been given to a false idol. Don't drink blood, okay? Pretty good? And it's the same fornication. Not for anything other than you'll be better for it. Farewell. Man. Praise God. Man, we made, for hundreds of years, we have made salvation sound like, man, I don't know. I'll say it this way. Man, it's hard to be a Christian. No! It's hard to live lost. It's hard to live in sin. It's not hard to be a Christian. You got less rules, less regulation, less pain, and less consequences being a Christian. Amen. It's just it's our nature to add to what God done. Well, you need to at least do this. You need to at least do that. What you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ. some of y'all are sitting here going, y'all are very skeptical, and you're looking at me like, I can't believe you're just saying, as the pastor of this church, you know the attendance can drop if people don't know they have to come to church. I get that. But once you get saved, and God dwells in you, one part of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit, okay? He's got a tendency of making you desire the things that you should be doing. And it's not hard. It's just you find out it's in a good standing relationship. See, when I read this book, I know more about who God is. I know more about who I am, and I know better how to live. Amen? When I come to church, I don't got to come to church. Some of y'all are like, yes. Alrighty. You don't have to come to church. But when you come to church, you get edified. It makes you a stronger believer. When you come to church, you edify somebody else. That makes them stronger believers. Amen? When you come to church, you glorify God. He shows himself and he magnifies himself for you. And we can do more together than we can separate. That's why we come to church. Amen? You don't have to pray. You don't have to. But I found something out about prayer. I served in the military a little while. I was in the Marine Corps. I found out one thing. If the enemy ever wants to do something to you drastically, the first thing he wants to do is cut off your line of communication to your greatest help. The first person the enemy kills is the radio man. Why? Where you can't get beans, bullets, and bandages. That means help. Amen? So guess what? When you don't have to pray. But see, what I like to say is this. When I talk to God, I get the one involved who there is nothing too hard for him to do. When I pray to God, he might not answer the way I want him to. He might say no. That hurts. But it's no because he don't want me to have it because it's going to hurt me. He might say yes. Hallelujah. You ever get those? He might say yes. That's when you do your little run and shout and praise and hallelujah thing. Right? Well, and then he says, wait. Sometimes I'd rather have a no or a yes. But sometimes he says, wait. But I know I'm talking to God. Amen. So he's helping me. Amen? Did y'all get helped with a small word, small portion? Yeah. Man, that was a compact message. As compact as I can do. Let's all stand. If God's dealt with your heart and you want to talk, Pam, right? If you want to talk to Pam right after this, you're more than welcome to. You come and talk to her. If you want to talk to me right after this service, you're more than welcome to. Matter of fact, we got people come to the altar. So Scott, you're off the hook. Come on up here. You're going to have to play the guitar. Play a song. Miss Betsy, come on, play the piano. If God's dealt with your heart at all, come pray. Hey, come pray.